talk about Panama, you'll often find that you're talking about all the things that make a place a tropical paradise. Hi, I'm Dan Prescher for International Living. Panama is hugely popular with U.S. and Canadian expats, and for very good reasons. But like any place else, having experienced legal help on your side is critical, even in paradise. Renelda Mata Kelly is one of the most qualified legal experts I've ever met in Panama, and today she shares her insights with us on doing Panama right. It's Renelda Mata Kelly on this edition of Finding Your Overseas Paradise. Renelda, thank you for joining me on the program today. It's a pleasure to talk to you. I've reached you in Panama City, Panama, at the office of your law firm. Is that right?
That is correct, and thank you very much for thinking of me and including me in your podcast.
Well, it would be hard not to, since you are one of the smartest people I know in Panama and have been such a great help to us, especially at the International Living events, attending and giving our attendees the lowdown on Panama as a place to live and invest. Let me just start out, Renelda, by asking you, when you talk to North American expats, Americans, Canadians, even people from the UK, what are their big reasons for looking at Panama as a place to retire full or part-time or even invest? Is there something that keeps coming up for you?
Well, there are several things, actually. Mm-hmm. One of them is the fact that Panama offers such an easy process of immigration. Mm-hmm. We have several options, which we can discuss later in the podcast. Yeah, one of them, of course, being the pensioner visa, which offers quite a number of discounts for anyone living in Panama, and it's extremely easy to obtain for those who are receiving a pension. Now, that is one of the reasons. The other reason is because Panama is, out of the countries in our region, is probably the one that has best infrastructure. It has a good standard of living, and the cost of living is lower than that of North America and Europe. Mm-hmm. So you can live in Panama quite well with a budget that, not necessarily a very, very low budget, but certainly a better budget than you would in those countries.
Right.
And you still have facilities of having the availability of people to help you. In many of the developed countries, having assistance of any sort becomes extremely expensive. In Panama, we can still have the assistance of nurses, aides, maids, etc., that we can, you know, get to help us for really reasonable funds. Yeah. Also, and there is also a flexibility to the requirements of residency in Panama that attracts people, especially from Canada and the UK, who want to become a non-resident status for tax. Mm-hmm. And that is that Panama, you can actually get residency in Panama, and once approved, you only have to come once every 2 years to keep it.
To keep your residency in Panama if you're Canadian or UK and want to maintain a residence there for tax purposes.
Correct, because if you're from those countries and you go through the process of expatriating for tax purposes only as a resident, then you need to show that you have legal residency elsewhere. You may spend the rest of the time traveling around the world, but you must show that you have legal residency somewhere. And as I say, Panama is very flexible because most countries that offer residency will demand that you spend a certain amount of time a year in each country, in the country where you got residency. And here it's very flexible.
And of course, one of the other things Panama has going for it is about 100 years of experience with North Americans when it comes to the Panama Canal and the Canal Zone. And it is one of the crossroads of the Western Hemisphere, which means that almost no matter where you come from in North America or Europe, you will have an expat community waiting for you somewhere in Panama. It makes it very easy to get to Panama and become comfortable in some sort of community that's already established. It's not like you're breaking new ground in Panama.
Absolutely. I mean, not only have we had Americans for the last 100 years in Panama or more, it's really much more because since the era of the the railway between to connect the eastern side of the U.S. with California for the gold rush.
Right.
And even before then, we've had large immigrations of different nationalities. So we have a very, very diversified society. And not only that, we are still perhaps one of the few countries in the world where we welcome foreign residents with open arms of any nationality, and that is a change, I think, that many people, when they come here, they feel the warmth of people receiving them into the country.
They actually do. It's a very refreshing feeling. And as you say, Panama has been a natural crossing point between the Atlantic and Pacific Oceans for whatever reason you needed to cross for well over 100 years. And that is all still in the Panamanian culture, that kind of internationalism. It's very refreshing. Renelda, tell me a little bit about, I guess let's start at the beginning with legal and visa concerns. If somebody just wants to come down and try out Panama, how long can they stay on a tourist visa now? Because I know that's changed a little bit in the last couple of years.
Yes. Well, legally, you can stay in Panama up to 3 months as a tourist. What has happened lately is that our president, in an effort to make it easier for Americans, Canadians, and British and other European nations to visitors to spend time in Panama, what they have done is that they have relaxed the requirements in such a manner that if you decide to overstay beyond the 3 months, you are not going to be penalized. There will be no fines levied on you for overstaying, provided you don't overstay beyond 6 months.
Right.
So that makes it easy for anybody who wants to come for a little period of time and just explore the country. Because although it's a very small country, there are some vast differences between the different areas where you can live, be it in the city, which is very cosmopolitan, Panama City, or live in the mountains, or you prefer to live on the beach. So there's lots of different areas to explore, and many people do like to come and spend several months here doing that before they decide to take the plunge.
Well, you're absolutely right. The difference between the different sectors that Panama has to offer is incredible, from Chiriquí province to the increasingly popular Caribbean side, the Darién, where a lot of the teak farming operations are, and Panama City, which people call Miami South, and for very good reason. It's such a bustling metropolis that I can't imagine anybody who likes having a city around them being in Panama City and not being able to find anything that they want at any time. Without getting into great detail, Renelda, because I know these things can get kind of tricky when we're talking about the legalities, but what is the next visa step after the tourist visa, and how do you qualify for those if you want to take that next step and go for residency or go for another type of visa in Panama? How do you go about doing that?
Okay, well, the first thing to do, of course, is contact somebody like hopefully me, who can guide you as to the paperwork that you need to bring and as to which is the best residency option for you. If you want to come, for example, under any visa, you would need to bring something called a police record or police clearance letter confirming that you don't have any convictions and nobody's actually hunting for you. And that kind of documentation, and also if you're bringing your spouse, marriage certificate, et cetera. So we help you with all that, trying so that you come to Panama prepared with the right paperwork and in perfect order. Then you have several options. The easiest, fastest, and least expensive is the pensioner visa. But for this, you need to prove more than just income. You need to prove that you are actually receiving a pension, a lifetime pension.
Okay, so it's more than just an annuity or the income that you might get from a passive investment. It's an actual pension.
Correct. An actual pension. We can work around an annuity, provided it's a lifetime annuity.
Okay, I understand.
Guaranteed, say, by an insurance company. But we cannot, unfortunately, work with passive income or income generated by just your business or whatever. It needs to actually be a structured lifetime pension.
Got it.
And basically, if you have one of at least $1,000 a month, then this is a process. It's a one-time application. Mm-hmm. It takes about 3 to 4 months to be approved. And the applicant doesn't need to stay in the country during that time. You can travel back and forth or stay, if you prefer, from the day one. And once the visa is approved, is forever.
That's great news for people who have those retirement plans to fall back on. There's another way to get residency as well, Renelda, if I'm not mistaken, which involves investment. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Sure. The what we call the person of means visa, it's actually the possibility that simply you don't have a pension, but perhaps you have funds or you want to buy real estate in Panama. Mm-hmm. And it's also a very easy process. You need to do one of three things. Either you invest $300,000 in real estate, and that can be commercial, residential, it doesn't matter. Or you open a fixed-term deposit account in Panama, in any bank in Panama, for $300,000 for 3 years, or you do a combination of both. And when I say only 3 years, that is exactly what I mean. After 3 years, you can either sell the property or close your bank account and take your money and spend it whichever way you like, and you still keep the residency. Now, this residency process requires two applications. Once the first one is approved, you get a two-year visa, and then when that expires, you apply again and you get the permanent after it is processed.
Right. So either way, you have to demonstrate your seriousness in committing some funds to Panama for a fixed period of time to qualify for this visa.
Absolutely. Now, there is another option, which is less capital intensive, which is the forestry investor visa, which requires that you invest a minimum of $80,000 in a plantation, in a timber plantation in Panama. And basically, that's all you need to do. Basically, invest in a plantation that is that has already qualified under the Environmental Agency for a forestry certificate. And once the investment is done and documented, then you can just come and file the application, and it's also the two-step we just described.
A very interesting option for residency in Panama, and in just a few weeks I'm going to be talking to, I know he's a friend of yours and a good friend of mine, Robert Croyson from United Nature, who offers just that kind of service, so we'll get into more detail about that. You brought up the issue of banking. And I know that Panama, because of its position as one of the physical and financial crossroads of the Western Hemisphere, has a very well-established banking infrastructure. How hard is it to open a bank account in Panama? What are the general flips and twists of people getting money in and out and establishing a financial presence in Panama, Renelda?
Well, indeed, we have about, I don't know, at least 80 banks that are established in Panama from all over the world. And they're, despite all the difficulties nowadays to open bank accounts, it is still possible for a person to open a bank account, for a foreign resident to open a bank account in Panama. But there is a lot of documentation that needs to be presented to the bank, and the banks do require that the person comes personally so that they can interview them.
Right.
You need things like a bank reference and two other personal references that can come from your attorney or your accountant or any other person of standing that knows you. And you need a copy of your last tax return. In the case of the U.S., it's just the 1040 form.
Okay.
And you need a utility bill that shows your home address and copies of your passport, of course. And again, this is something that we can help clients with to organize it and help them open the account. Normally, it takes several weeks to open an account. You can't just walk into a bank with the money in your pocket and deposit it, because the banks need to make sure that the client they're dealing with is acceptable to the bank, and that process normally takes about 3 weeks. So it's a know your client policy structure where banks are obliged to make sure that the people they're doing business with are upstanding citizens.
Right, exactly. And I know for a fact that your office can help with that in any case. Ronelle, does your office also help expats with their tax considerations if they're permanent residents of Panama? Because as we know, U.S. citizens are liable for their worldwide income no matter where they live or where they're residents of. Do you offer that service to expats as well?
Okay. We are lawyers. We are qualified lawyers for Panama law. Mm-hmm. So we can only guide clients insofar as Panamanian taxes are concerned, which, by the way, are territorial taxes. So no foreign resident will pay taxes in Panama unless they actually generate their income here.
Unless their money is made in Panama, right?
Correct. So even if they bring their pensions from, say, the U.S. into Panama, they will not have to pay tax on that. Mm-hmm. But as you mentioned, countries like the U.S. That has worldwide tax system does require that their nationals continue to pay tax in the U.S. For life. So, or until they change citizenship.
Right.
So, unfortunately, we do not offer a U.S. tax advisory service. But we would be more than glad to work together with any advisors working with our clients so that we can help them make the right choices.
As Susan and I do every year at about this time, which is tax time for us U.S. citizens, always seek professional help. And it's good to know that your law office will work closely with other professionals that expats may have in the United States or Canada to actually do this right, because it's such an important thing. Ronelda, I know from hearing you talk at our conferences that you can go on for a long time about the many details that are involved in expatriating properly and living in Panama. If people want to follow up and ask you any specific questions, what's the easiest way to get a hold of you at Ronelda Mattakelly Law Offices?
Well, the easiest way really is to send me an email because I, as you mentioned, travel to conferences, and also when I'm here in Panama, of course, have to meet with clients during the day as well.
Yeah.
So the easiest way of contacting me is by email. My email address are my initials, RMK at MATA, that's MATA hyphen Kelly, KELLY .com.
Excellent. Ronelda, I want to thank you so much for talking to me. Before I let you go, I usually ask this to the people that I know are experts in any particular field that we're covering. What's the one big piece of advice that you would give anybody who is right now thinking of Panama as a destination, either for part-time or full-time living? Let's say an American citizen or a Canadian citizen, the biggest piece of advice you might give them before they actually make that move?
The biggest, most important advice I can give them is to please carry out their due diligence.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure that you have somebody to hold your hand. Obviously, we offer that. And the reason we do it is because we know it is not an easy transition if you are not well prepared. If you're well prepared, it is easy. If you're not, it can be extremely difficult, and you can end up losing a lot of money, especially if you decide to buy real estate. It is also very important that you have a good professional attorney helping you with the process, making sure you don't make any mistakes, and making sure that the property you purchase, it's rightfully yours after the transaction is done.
Exactly.
So that is my advice. Many clients come to a beautiful place like Panama, they fall in love, and they start signing contracts and giving money out before they have checked anything. And that would be my biggest concern and my best advice is to please do your due diligence. And the more prepared you are, the better and easier your trip will be and your transition. And don't worry about asking questions. I have clients ask me questions just about anything, and I'm very glad to help them. And if I'm not available, one of my staff will certainly help them. So we're here to help clients. That's what we do. And if you choose Panama, which I think is the best choice, then we would, of course, stand by to help you all the way.
Always get good professional help on your side. Excellent advice. Renelda Mata-Kelly, thank you so much for joining me on the show today. A pleasure talking to you, and I look forward to seeing you at the next conference where our paths will cross.
Absolutely, Dan. It's been a pleasure talking to you and to all those who will hear the podcast.
Sign up for International Living's free daily postcards at internationalliving.com/radio and get a free report on the world's top retirement havens. These free daily postcards will give you more information on living the good life for less overseas. Thanks for listening to International Living Radio. You can hear more episodes of Finding Your Overseas Paradise at internationalliving.com/radio.